Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It is 6:34, sunny and 60 here in Lansing on a Friday evening. Can't beat that. I'm Michael Cohen. Thanks for joining us. Well, an Ingham County judge today sentencing a Lansing teen who faces life in prison without parole to a delayed sentence, which means Charles Lewis Jr.'s fate won't be sealed until he's 21. Lansing State Journal reporter Kevin Grasha was in the courtroom, and he joins me now to explain the case and to talk about exactly what happened in court this week. Kevin, thanks for joining us this evening.
Thank you, Michael.
So I want to start by getting some clarity on the case itself. I know it involves kidnapping and the murder of 19-year-old Shayla Johnson of Lansing in July of 2010. Seven men were involved, along with Charles Lewis Jr., who was 13 at the time. How was Shayla targeted? Was she known, or did she know any of these men personally?
She'd actually dated one of the men who actually were involved. It appears that they were all after her boyfriend's marijuana plans, at least according to court testimony. And the initial plan was to go to her house and kidnap her and then hold her hostage until her boyfriend gave up these marijuana plants, apparently.
Was it clear?
That's not what happened.
Was it clear why there were seven men and a teenager? That's quite a group there.
Right. Well, the ringleader was the teen's father, Charles Lewis Sr., and he got his son involved in this operation.
You know, what's interesting is we had Ingham County Prosecutor Stuart Dunnings on the morning show here with Tony Connolly, and what he said is that Charles Jr. was actually the one that brought his father into this gang and invited him into this incident. Was that expressed in court?
No, that really hasn't been made too clear in court. I'm actually interested to hear what Stuart has to say about that.
Well, in fact, he also added that Charles Lewis Jr. had 29 contacts with police. He had threatened women with weapons. He committed a home invasion where he actually challenged the homeowner when he was caught in the house. So was this profile built by the prosecution that there was this kid that had so many interactions with the police and was a gang member himself?
Yeah, I mean, he was the teen was a gang member, and you know, he's been through the juvenile court system continuously since I believe first or second grade, and has been given all kinds of opportunities, all kinds of programming, and the social workers and the psychologists and the juvenile court officials have all said, you know, he's failed at every one of those, and there is basically no hope for him. However, the only hope is the fact that he's only 15 right now. His brain still can develop, and you know, maybe by the time he's 21 or in his 20s, he will be a different person or a changed person.
I see. I want to get back to the case then. So what happens? They go to Shayla's house, these seven men and the teenager Charles Lewis Jr. The plan is to kidnap her. How exactly did she end up being shot?
That has never been clear to me. There was at least three or four of the intruders that had guns, including the 13-year-old Charles Lewis Jr., and they go into her bedroom and they drag her out of bed, and they throw her in the trunk of a car, you know, to drive her to a garage, I believe, where apparently there had been some ropes that they were going to tie her up with. But when she's in the trunk of the car, for whatever reason, and this is according to testimony, it's Charles Lewis Sr. who shoots her five times, and it's never been clear to me why.
I see. So she was actually in the trunk of the car when this happened.
Yes. Yes.
Now, when we talk about Charles Lewis Jr., there were two psychologists that testified, one saying that he can be rehabilitated, the other saying he cannot. Was there anything especially compelling about either of their arguments in court?
Well, the psychologist that the prosecution called had done a much more thorough evaluation, and he, although he said there's, you know, basically no hope is how he phrased it, he said, you know, there's just that sliver of hope, and just because he's, you know, as young as he is now and he has time to develop it, he could, you know, become a law-abiding member of society. But his attorney had called some psychiatrists who, after an hour and a half interview, had come to the conclusion that he had already changed.
Hmm. I see.
Which was there was some dispute about that because of the fact it was a 90-minute interview and he may have been not being completely truthful with him.
I'm talking to Kevin Grosso, Lansing State Journal reporter, who is very well aware and has been in court as the judge is deciding or did decide this week on the fate of 15-year-old Charles Lewis Jr. facing life in prison without parole. So what do we know exactly about the way Charles Lewis Jr. was raised? What kind of upbringing did he have? I know he was raised by his mother, but he was not always with her. Is that right?
That seems to be the case. His father, Charles Lewis Sr., was in prison, I believe, when he was 4 days old. He was sentenced to prison and was in prison for most of his life. He was with his mother most of his life as well. There was some testimony that she had lived in drug houses on at least two occasions, and I believe at least twice social workers had taken Charles Lewis Jr. out of the home. Briefly, and apparently she got her life back together and was given custody again.
Did his mother?
She's been in and out of jail too, though.
What's that? I'm sorry.
His mother's been in and out of jail as well.
I see. Now, did she herself speak in court this week?
She did not. She did not speak in court. Although afterwards, and after the hearing today, she did talk to me briefly. Mm-hmm. And talked about how relieved she was and that she believes that her son is a good kid. And she said, I know my son. He is deep down a good kid. He's been down a bad road. And, this treatment that he's going to receive is going to help him and he's going to be better.
Now, Shayla Johnson's family also spoke out in court this week. What exactly did they say? And did they address Charles Lewis Jr. directly?
They were given a chance to speak in court. They basically addressed the judge directly and said, and this is Shayla's mother and father. They asked the judge to sentence him to life in prison, and they don't believe that there's hope for this young man. But the judge went with the psychologist and the social workers told him.
Now the judge delayed the ultimate sentence till Charles is 21. Does that basically spare him from going into the prison system now and keeps him in the juvenile facility, or would he have been doing that either way?
Yeah, it does spare. The judge could have sentenced him to adult prison today if he had chosen to, but the judge chose the delayed option, which means Lewis Jr. will go to the Maxi Boys training school. It's a high security facility for adolescent boys, actually boys 12 to 21, and he'll receive intense treatment there until he's 21. When he turns 21, and assuming Judge Economy is still on the bench, Economy will then decide whether to release him or to send him to an adult prison.
When you talk about this intensive treatment, is it clarified in court what that means exactly?
It could be a range of things. I know that there was talk of anger management and psychotherapy and counseling, among the things. I'm sure there will be education as well. I think he's a little bit behind in reading, and he's about grade level in math, but he's never been in school consistently since sixth grade.
Did the judge explain his rationale? Did he say, I don't want this kid in the prison system right now?
I think the judge said he was really just listening to what the experts told him, and the experts told him, this kid needs to go to a juvenile facility until he's 21, and the judge basically listened to that, and he said his heart kind of put him that direction as well.
So what, I know we talked about this earlier this week, but as this process has been unfolding, what kind of reactions have you seen out of Charles Lewis Jr.? Has he appeared to have any kind of remorse? Has he expressed any or reacted in any way that gives you any sense of what his psychology is right now?
He looks like, at times, like a scared kid, and which is understandable. I mean, sitting in the courtroom, surrounded by people that are telling him what kind of kid he is and what kind of person he is. But at the same time, he doesn't show much emotion. And all the juvenile court officials and the psychologist said, they don't detect obvious remorse from him. Although the psychologist would say that, juveniles express their remorse differently than adults do. But you don't see that much from him.
When the judge made the ruling, was there any kind of particular reaction in the courtroom?
You know, he had admonished the spectators to not react, and you know, there were tears, and I believe that I could sense distinct relief from Charles Lewis Jr.'s mother and his family members and supporters who were also in the courtroom.
I see. So now at this point, this won't be really discussed probably for another 5-6 years. The adults involved, they still face charges, I think?
Yeah, there are still five adults charged in federal court, including Charles Lewis Jr.'s father. Those charges are, yeah, pending in federal court, and it yet has yet to be decided whether they will face the death penalty or not.
Well, Kevin Grasha, reporter for the Lansing State Journal, as we review once again the case that involves now 15-year-old Charles Lewis Jr. He will not be facing life without parole in prison quite yet, but we'll find out what happens 5-6 years from now. Kevin, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you, Michael.